What happened to the game I love?
I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast. Appreciate you guys joining me once again. As always, don't forget to like and subscribe and share and tell your family and friends and neighbors what we're talking about over here, sports and real stuff. I appreciate the love as always, the feedback on YouTube, social media comments, likes, everything. Really, I truly appreciate it. All right, let's get into it, y'all. So NFL playoffs continue. We just had the conference championships, and it didn't go exactly as I thought it would. Slightly. I didn't think the Kansas City Chiefs would find a way once again to make it to another Super Bowl. And that's where I want to start. The Ravens and the Chiefs. First thing, what the hell happened to the Ravens playbook? And everybody's already said this, so I'm just adding to it. What happened to the Ravens playbook? Why did the Ravens, I know they want to feature Lamar as a passer. They want to get away from what Greg Roman did for all these years that weren't as successful. But dang, man, like the Chiefs weren't even that good of a run-stopping team. And the Ravens basically said we weren't going to try to run. What happened to the Ravens playbook? In addition to that, what happened to the Lamar? It seemed to me, and I wanted Lamar to win the Super Bowl so bad if you guys watched last episode, but it seemed to me that Lamar was so intent on proving that he's a pocket passer that he didn't just take off and run. Like several times I'm watching, I'm like, bro, old Lamar takes off for 8 yards there, takes off for 10 yards there. He's gone. But it's like he was intent on trying to show that he's a pocket passer. He can win in the pocket, and this is just me guessing. I don't know, obviously. Nobody knows. That he stood in the pocket, and he wasn't himself. So that was my one takeaway from the KC, from the Baltimore side, is what happened to their playbook and what happened to Lamar? Why did Lamar not take off more? Because we know the brother can run, duh. And I think, again, it's just me, I think he heard the noise about him being a running quarterback and, you know, people calling him a running back. And instead of using his instincts a lot of time, I felt that he stayed in the pocket too long and didn't just take off. And these kind of games, man, you're trying to win any old way, all right? You're trying to win any way possible. So if you have to run all day to do it, do it. Be yourself. And I hope Lamar learns from that. Don't listen to people telling you, well, you know, outside noise ain't going to do nothing for you, bro. Play with your instincts. Take off. But the coaching didn't help. The play calling didn't help. Because several times, and analysts on TV have talked about this, the Chiefs are playing dime defense, and, like, Baltimore played right into their hand. Like, run the ball, like, right up their throat, man. That's what I was expecting, and it didn't happen. So my AFC Conference Championship prediction was wrong. But shout out to the Chiefs, man, for doing it once again. And I know Pat's going to get all the credit. You know, he's Patrick Mahomes. It is what it is at this point. Can't hate on the guy. I know Patrick Mahomes is going to get all the credit, but I think people need to start showing some love to Andy Reid. And I gotta ask this. Is Andy Reid the GOAT coach, at least in the NFL? Is Andy Reid the best coach ever, and we've just been sleeping on it because we talk about Belichick all this time and other coaches? But I think Andy Reid has a case. I think Andy Reid has a case to be the GOAT coach, to be considered the GOAT coach. I think he makes a strong case to make the best coach ever, to be known as the best coach ever in the NFL. Here's why. People are going to say, well, Andy Reid didn't win till he got Patrick Mahomes, and I get that. But guess what? No coach wins consistently without greatness on their team. No player wins without greatness. So there's no player winning without a great coach, and there's not a great coach winning without a great player. Phil Jackson didn't win nothing without Jordan and Pippen and Shaq and Kobe. That's how it is. You need great players. Think back of any dynasty. Like, you need great players. Coach Popovich, great coach, won with Tim Duncan. One of the maybe, what, 10 best players ever in the NBA? Best power forward ever, Tim Duncan? Yeah, he had a dynasty. And since Tim has left, he's pretty much been a lottery guy every year. But we don't knock him as being a great coach, top-tier coach. Bill Belichick has done jack squat without Tom Brady, and fans and media have pretty much gone as far to say that Bill Belichick is not a good coach at all. Tom Brady made him. Some people say that. I don't agree with that. But fans and media say Bill Belichick has nothing, and that's because he's done nothing without Tom Brady. Go back in history, man. Every great coach, or every coach we consider great, has had great players. Bill Walsh had Joe Montana. Yeah, he was a great play designer, but he had Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. Like, yeah, you're going to win a lot of games. Jimmy Johnson had a pretty good team with defenses and O-line and Emmitt Smith and Irvin. Aikman took care of the ball. Like, every great coach you could think of has had great players. So don't tell me that Andy Reid can't be considered the GOAT coach because he's only won with Patrick Mahomes. Well, it only took Patrick Mahomes, the GOAT quarterback, to win. No, every coach needs that. But with so much focus on Pat, people lose the fact that Andy Reid, versus all these other coaches, has had tremendous success with other people outside of the all-time great player. Right? Outside of the all-time great Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid is probably the only one who's had significant success. Not Super Bowl success, but he's had significant success that others have haven't. Bill Belichick has pretty much tanked since Brady. Popovich has tanked. Phil Jackson, he won a few games with the Bulls the couple years that Jordan retired. But to me, what the case that Andy Reid has, the case that he makes, is that he has won no matter the talent he has on his team, and he continues to show his greatness. His teams are always prepared. Like, you never leave the game and you're like, man, Andy Reid's teams weren't prepared. Maybe they just didn't play well that game, but his teams are always prepared, and his schemes, more often than not, work. Like, this past game, the AFC Championship, Patrick Mahomes was a Superman. Pat didn't have to do much great things, really. Like, he didn't have to throw, you know, crazy passes and sidearms, and he didn't have to do any of that. For most of the game, actually, Travis Kelce and these Bulls was running wide open. Even the game-clinching throw within the two-minute warning to MVS, he was wide open. Actually, Pat made that a more difficult catch than it had to be. Like, Pat kind of underthrew the ball. So he knows how to scheme guys open. So throughout the AFC Championship game against Baltimore, Travis Kelce's running wide open because Andy Reid, like, he schemed him up really good. And he doesn't get enough credit because all the credit goes to Pat. Like, think back of his coaching history. And all people remember was, you know, well, he lost all these conference championship games and the one Super Bowl he went to with Donovan McNabb, he lost. Like, that's all people remember before Patrick Mahomes. And that's fine. That's fair. But he got there. And then once he got the all-time guy, like everybody else, he won. It's not like he was garbage before the all-time guy and then he was great with the all-time guy. No, he was really, really good with Donovan and everybody else. And then once he got the all-time guy, he won. Think about it. Give the man his props, bro. McNabb. put up a heck of a career with Andy Reid. Michael Vick rehabilitated himself because of Andy Reid. Think about it. Kevin Cole. Who remembers Kevin Cole? Kevin Cole got a fat contract traded to the Arizona Cardinals because of, what, a year or so, whatever it was, under Andy Reid? And then he gets hurt and Michael Vick steps in and, you know, the rest is history. But Kevin Cole got a fat contract because of Andy Reid. 6 years, $62 million. Alex Smith, former number one overall pick people had given up on, was looking like he was about to go to the Hall of Fame because of Andy Reid. Chad Henne, backup quarterback, former Miami Dolphin draft pick, didn't work out in Miami, ended up going to the bench in Kansas City. Chad Henne, in the middle of a playoff game, drives his team 90-something yards in a playoff game. Not too many coaches can say they can prepare, they could call plays in a way that their backup quarterback can come in ice cold off the bench in a big-time playoff game to win that game. And I'm a firm believer in this. People can say whatever they want to say. I'm a firm believer that if Mac Jones played for Andy Reid, we would have a totally different view of who Mac Jones is. Even with the current Patriots roster. Even with their current roster, if Andy Reid coached that team, you would have a different view of Mac Jones. Because his QBs, for whatever reason, are always put in positions to succeed. And that's why I don't like the whole elite quarterback, non-elite quarterback conversation as much. Because I know there are great quarterbacks. But man, the elite quarterbacks, like a Patrick Mahomes, it helps to have Andy Reid. It definitely does. I'll say it to my dying day. Patrick Mahomes is not who we know as Patrick Mahomes if he goes to somebody like the New York Jets. He's just not. So shout out to Andy Reid, man. While everybody else is praising Pat, I'm going to praise Andy Reid because, dude, his early career, he's going to be dinged for that. And he lost 5 straight conference championship games or whatever it was. But Andy Reid gets credit for being consistent, for being a genius as an offensive mind. And now that he has his guy, it is going to be hard as hell to beat him. Because against a great Baltimore Ravens defense, Travis Kelce was running wide open all game. All game. So, yeah, give your props to Pat. Pat him on the shoulder. Pat on the shoulder. But don't forget to give major props also to Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid has a major case as like the best coach ever in the NFL and maybe the best coach of all time. Like Nick Saban, and he just had to recruit all the best guys. He just had to recruit all the best guys. He had a monopoly on recruiting. Andy Reid doesn't have a monopoly. Matter of fact, all his best players be bouncing on offense. He lost a cheetah, but yet he continues to find a way, man. So we have to give Andy Reid his credit. I know I do. Andy Reid is top tier, top of the top. In my lifetime and what I've seen, he is top of the top head coach in the NFL and maybe all time. He don't have the rings, right? People are going to say, well, he doesn't have enough rings. You know, Bill got 6 and, you know, Popovich got 5, whatever it is. I don't think he needs those rings to matter. What matters to me, what makes him the GOAT coach to me, is the way he's able to maximize his teams no matter who the talent is. Michael Vick wasn't much of a passer. Michael Vick comes out of prison and Michael Vick is throwing bombs and looking like a passer. Alex Smith is looking like a Hall of Fame player, making the Pro Bowl and playoffs consistently. That, to me, is a sign of a great coach because even before he had all the greatness around him, he somehow was able to get greatness out of those players. And that, to me, probably weighs more than somebody who finds a great talent like Patrick Mahomes and runs off a bunch of Super Bowls. You find a great talent like Tom Brady, and you roll off a bunch of Super Bowls. And it's not to take away from Bill Belichick at all. Great coach. But just thinking about it, I'm like, what Andy Reid does, I don't think he gets enough credit for. We all just say, hey, Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT. No, I think Andy Reid has a case for the GOAT head coach as well. But my prediction is gone and ruined. I was predicting Baltimore versus San Fran, so that's out the window. And I was rooting for Lamar to win for all the pass-first quarterbacks. That's out the window. So get him next time, Lamar. Strap him up. You win some, you lose some. Get him next time. Get him next time, Lamar. Lions 49ers. You know what? And I've said this before. Lions 49ers. NFL fans don't give a damn about winning, man. NFL fans don't care about winning or losing games. All they care about is whether you consider the quarterback, whether the media considers their quarterback an elite quarterback. That's all they care about. So the 49ers win, and all you see on social media is 49ers fans arguing with media people and analysts about whether the fact Brock Purdy is an elite quarterback or not. Who cares? Who the hell cares if they call him an elite quarterback? Call him whatever you want. He's in the Super Bowl, and if he wins, he's a Super Bowl champion. You can call him whatever you want. Take it from a Miami Dolphins fan who had, I think, the best quarterback ever on his team in Dan Marino, who never won a damn Super Bowl. Dan Marino, to me, is the GOAT, but never won a Super Bowl. So give me a Super Bowl. You take the elite quarterback. How about that? But modern-day NFL fans don't give a damn about winning anymore. Instead of celebrating, they're going to the Super Bowl and getting ready for the Super Bowl. 49ers fans are upset, and these guys are really mad that analysts on TV isn't calling Brock Purdy an elite quarterback. So what? He doesn't have to be. Eli Manning got two. He's not elite. He is literally mid as mid could be. So what? Enjoy the guy you have. If he wins, great. No matter what people call him. But I guess in the NFL's mind, that's a good thing because that's what keeps the conversation going. That's what keeps fans engaged, even when their team is bad. As long as they got an elite quarterback, they could argue on social and they could watch their team play because, hey, I got an elite quarterback. Even if I'm losing games, I got Justin Herbert. He's an elite quarterback. I could argue all day online that my quarterback is elite. Nah, fam, it's about winning and losing. Doesn't matter if your quarterback's elite or not. If you're losing, you lost. At least that's how it used to be. But modern day fans, I swear to you, man, it's ridiculous on Twitter seeing these guys arguing with these analysts. Of course, these analysts love the back and forth. Draws more attention to them. Everybody's saying, you know, except for a few of them, right? Richard Sherman, former 49er, spent his last days with the 49ers. But analysts are like, yeah, you know, 49ers have all the talent on their team, and Brock Purdy is, you know, he's not elite. He's not up there with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, which is true. Talent-wise, he's not up there. I don't know what's so hard to accept. Talent-wise, he's not up there. But he gets the job done, and that's all you want. But no, they are on Twitter arguing with these dudes day and night about the fact that Brock Purdy should be considered an elite quarterback. Bro, just enjoy your win, man. They'll change your tune if he wins more. He wins more Super Bowls, they'll have to change your tune. And even if they don't, so what? So who the hell cares about elite quarterback? That's the problem. We're so focused on just a quarterback. Is Kyle Shanahan an elite coach? Does he get that credit? Is the team as worried about the fact that Kyle Shanahan is a great coach and they need him to continue being a great coach? Because without him scheming up great plays, Brock Purdy ain't doing nothing. He's not going to look mid either. He's not going to look mid or elite. He's going to look trash. But to me, pivoting over to the Lions, You call Brock Purdy what you want. I'm going to call him lucky. Yeah, he's lucky. He's lucky the Lions gave that game away. He's lucky he threw a pick that the guy let hit his face mask. I don't know how that happens. He's lucky. How? I've never seen that before. Off the face mask? I know y'all ain't never seen that. I ain't never seen somebody, the ball hit you off your face mask and it bounces and Brandon Ayuk catches it. Just the craziest plays, man. Craziest things happen in the playoffs. So if the cornerback catches that, the defensive back catches that, it's night-night. Game's over. You call Brock Purdy whatever you want. If the defensive back catches the ball that hits his face mask, his face mask, the game is over. He could be called an elite quarterback, but he would have just took an L. So again, instead of enjoying your win, you're arguing whether your quarterback is elite or not. He got away with it. The Lions gave it away. Fourth down drops. They gave it away. Fumbles, they gave it away. And that's sometimes that happens. I've watched enough football to know sometimes you happen to, the other team just happens to lose the game instead of you actually winning it. That happens more often than not in football. But a lot of people are coming for Dan Campbell's head. I'm going to be honest. I love Dan Campbell. I love it. He was an interim coach in Miami for a while, for a few games. I love the guy. I love his aggressiveness. If I were an NFL head coach, I would be coaching just like Dan Campbell. I would be coaching like it's Madden. Like every fourth down, if it's fourth down and less than three, I would be going for it every time, and I would probably end up getting fired. So I'm not here. You're not going to hear me bash Dan Campbell's aggressiveness at all because I love it. His players play for them. He's been doing it all year. Like, he goes for it. He trusts them. And if it were me in that position, I would do it too. And what I love about him is that he takes accountability for it. It's like, that's what it is. I trust my team. We've been doing it all year. I love his style, man. He coaches like Madden. But the Lions gave that game away. Like that drop on fourth down. Whew. Some people are going to say, well, take the field goal. I know. I hear you. Most coaches are going to take the field goal, take the points. But I can't knock a guy for being aggressive. And that's just his nature. He's an aggressive cat. Analytics or no analytics, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. I'll touch on analytics in a little bit. But analytics or no analytics, Dan Campbell is aggressive, and I love it. He coaches like I would coach. Fourth and two, I'm going for it. No matter where I am on the field, I'm going for it, man. And I would probably get fired real quick because of that. But yeah, shout out to the 49ers. They're going to the Super Bowl, but they got away with one. They should have took the L. So 49ers, Chiefs, rematch. Woo! I'm rooting for the 49ers because I'm a hater, y'all. I can't help it. I cannot stand having Patrick Mahomes in another one so the media could talk about him all offseason again. Yeah, call me a hater. I cannot have Pat win another one. So I'm rolling with the 49ers. Brock Purdy, don't let me down. All right, Kyle Shanahan, don't let me down. So that's my take on the playoffs, man. Sucks to be a Lions fan because it took so long to get there and then such a terrible loss. Oof. That's a tough loss. I know that hurt. All right, let's switch over to the NBA real quick. The Bucks fired their coach. Adrian Griffin's gone. They hired Doc Rivers, and everyone's mad that the Bucks hired Doc Rivers. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I like Doc Rivers, man. Does he have his faults? Yes. But everybody blaming all those 3-1 leads, and every time he gets a new job, a new opportunity, people bring up these 3-1 leads. And listen, man, sometimes you get a 3-1 lead, you probably shouldn't have been up 3-1. That Orlando Magic team probably shouldn't have been up 3-1. Some of those Orlando Magic teams probably should have made the playoffs, but he got them to the playoffs. So don't tell me about how bad of a coach Doc is. Like, if you don't remember those bad Orlando Magic teams, that he took to the playoffs, like, Doc took some pretty bad, poor talent teams to the playoffs in Orlando. The man's a hell of a coach. Again, does he have his faults? Absolutely. But to pin all those 3-1 losses on dude, I find that to be utterly ridiculous. I mean, it's not his fault the Clippers had internal turmoil that nobody talked about. That stuff came out afterwards. Those dudes didn't like each other. You gonna blame that on Doc? You gonna blame it on Doc that his players, for whatever reason, don't always show up when he need them to? Sixers players didn't show up when he needed them to? You gonna blame that on Doc? That Embiid was either hurt or not up to the task? That James Harden is always choking in the playoffs? You gonna blame that on Doc Rivers? Nah, I can't do that. I can't. Again, he has his faults, but every coach does. But I think it's a great hire for the Bucks. Adrian Griffin, he just seemed in over his head. I don't know why. He didn't seem like he had a good, he was like the leader that team needed. It's a veteran team on the cusp of a championship. So you need a coach that can control that, control those egos, control the room. And I think that's what Doc brings. He brings the experience. Dudes are going to respect him because he's Doc. He has that experience. He's been there. Like, I was watching the Bucks several times this year, and they struggled with bad teams, even though they may have ended up winning the game sometimes. But they struggled with the Pistons a couple times. I'm like, the Pistons? The 20-something loss in a row Pistons? You can't struggle with them. So it just seemed like Adrian Griffin never had control of that locker room. He was never the leader that these veterans needed. And so, hey, shout out to the ownership group for making a change like midseason like that. That's crazy. A lot of people would have ruled it out, waited until the end of the year after a playoff failure, and then switch coaches. They're like, nah, we're trying to win right now. And they got the team to do it. So let's see what happens. But all this hate on Doc, man, like, y'all got to point to me. How many of those 3-1 losses where you could be like, okay, schematically, Doc didn't do something? Like, they lost to the Hawks in the playoffs a couple of years ago. It's not his fault Ben Simmons just forgot how to play basketball. Was that his fault? We're going to blame him for Ben Simmons forgetting how to play basketball? We're going to forgive him? We're going to blame him for James Harden being a major choke artist in the playoffs all the time? Come on, dog. Don't be like that. Let's not be like that. So I think Doc is going to do a good job with the Bucks. Come playoff time, though, we'll see. It's going to be dependent on their defense, because right now, when you look at their perimeter defense, you can get anything you want. You can go through the lane anyhow you want. If Giannis ain't there waiting for you at the rim, if Brooke ain't there waiting for you at the rim, that perimeter defense sucks. And they got to fix that ASAP. That's probably Doc's first order of business. We got to learn how to stop penetration, 100%. Because the offense will take care of itself. They can score on anybody. But their defense is trash. Straight garbage. So shout out to Doc. Real quick pit stop in the booth. Everybody knew he wanted to keep coaching. So real quick pit stop. And then ends up getting a job with the Bucks. What else in the NBA? For those of you who are on social media or who remember the game, the playoff series last year, Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy and Mike Breen was calling this game of the Denver Nuggets and the Lakers. And this has become like a meme on social media where Mark Jackson says after D'Angelo Russell fouled Jamal Murray and they upgraded to a flagrant, I think. Mark Jackson says, you know, what happened to the game I love? What happened to the game I love? Like, because it was a good, strong foul. Back in the old days, it's just a regular foul, but they called the guy for a flagrant. And it's become a meme now. Anytime, you know, something crazy happens in basketball or even football, you know, dudes are like, what happened to the game I love? So that's where I am now with basketball, man. What happened to the game I love? What happened to the NBA? First of all, back in my day, call me an old head all you want, okay? Back in my day, stars didn't duck each other. Stars played against each other. They made sure to play each other. And as I'm sitting here, the NBA is promoting their rivalry week and Embiid against the Joker after Embiid had given Joker buckets. And I recorded an episode talking about how Joel Embiid had become the MVP, was the MVP favorite and the best player in the league. And then turn around and Joel Embiid is freaking ducking the Joker in Denver. And then it comes out later on, a couple days later, that, oh, he was hurt. He couldn't play. Man, I don't know. I don't like judging people whether they're hurt or not. But this is multiple years in a row where Joel Embiid does not play in Denver. And it's becoming a trend now. Or you're fine to play him in Philly, but you can't play him in Denver. So I don't blame anyone. I don't blame anyone who feels like Embiid is ducking the Joker in Denver. I don't blame anyone. Because the league hyped it up. We think we're about to get two Titans. Joker's about to get his lick back. And then you sit out. And this has been multiple years straight. Like, call me an old head, man. I remember when dudes loved playing each other. Anytime, anywhere. I don't care who's on my squad. Whether you at LA Fitness, outside in the park, whatever, dog. It was about competition. And a lot of dudes in the NBA, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of competitors. Guys who just love competing, man. Win or lose, I just want to compete. So honestly, it looked like Joel Embiid. It looked like you're ducking the Joker. After your boy came and recorded an episode talking about how great you are and how you're the best player in the NBA right now, it looks like you're ducking the Joker, bro. And honestly, that's the problem with the NBA right now. Because in the NFL, hypes up a matchup and says Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, like, you could bet your bottom dollar, man. You could bet your ass that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are playing next Monday night. They're going to be there. That's an advantage that the NFL has over the NBA. Like, their stars are playing no matter what. Unless somebody's got a blown out ACL or shoulder popped out, broken leg, these dudes are playing. The NBA doesn't have that. The NBA can't guarantee that their stars are going to play for the most part. That's why they need something like an in-season tournament. As I've said before, that's why LeBron can't retire. And I know folks have said, well, LeBron needs to retire because if LeBron retires, then the league will be forced to put the spotlight on some of these other players. Well, the league wants to put the spotlight on these other players, but these other players don't want to play. They play themselves out of it. They can't be trusted. And the worst thing in business is that you can't be trusted. You're not reliable. These new age players can't be trusted, whether it's taking days off or whether it's doing things off the court to get in trouble that prevents them from playing or just staining the name of the league. Like, these new dudes aren't reliable. They're not great partners. A great partner has to be reliable in business. And these modern NBA players aren't reliable. Like Joel Embiid, the NBA spends a whole week hyping up these rivals. And they got to make up these fake rivalries. Like, Denver and Philly's not a rivalry. Joker and Embiid's not really a rivalry because they only play in Philly once a year. It's a rivalry to fans and media, but they're not really a rivalry because they're not going back and forth. So the NBA is having to force these rivalries, and come game time, this guy doesn't play. And then come to find out, well, you know, he was hurt. So fans can't believe it because previous years you sat out presumably for no reason. Yeah, you could say, well, you know, I'm saving my knees for the playoffs. It's chronic knee pain. I'm saving it for the playoffs. And then fans are going to respond, well, in the playoffs, your knee's probably going to hurt again, and you're probably going to go out early in the playoffs. That's going to be the response from fans because we've seen it in the past. So the NBA has to manufacture these rivalries. They have to manufacture the in-season tournament because, honestly, they don't have anyone who they can say, hey, this rivalry here, You could cancel your plans. Cancel your plans for Saturday night. Come watch these dudes. Think about it. Who in the NBA now are you like, man, I know I'm supposed to be going out with my girl, but I'm a hit her up next week. I'm going to say, hey, babe, let's go out next week because I want to watch these dudes. And you're guaranteed that those dudes will play. Few and far between, man. Because you never know on game day who's going to sit out. That's why the NBA is still reliant on LeBron. That's why the NBA is still reliant on Steph. These old dudes who are supposed to be passing the baton, they really can't because, and the NBA really prays that they stay a little bit longer because the new guys aren't ready to take it. They're not ready to be professional to show up every time. So the NBA hopes that this Chet and Wemby thing takes off and it becomes a true rivalry. That would be amazing. Dudes who are going to show up and play and be professional all the time. Because these modern dudes aren't reliable. In business, you have to be reliable. Like, you're costing these people money, man. People ready. People all jacked up. Oh, yeah, Joker's going to get his lick back in Denver. And then you don't show up. And then you stay in the locker room at the beginning and then you come out towards the end of the game. Come on, man. And had he played previous years, Embiid would have built up some goodwill with the fans, but he hasn't. He's ducked the previous years. So now fans can only assume that, bro, you're still ducking. So despite being so great and despite me saying that you're the best player in the world, it looks like you're ducking Joker, man. So what comes first? Does LeBron and Steph and these guys need to retire first before these young guys can take over and the league can truly give them the spotlight? Or do these guys need to show that they're reliable, that they deserve to have the spotlight on them all the time, and that they're going to show up for every big-time game and every prime-time game, and the league doesn't have to come up with gimmicks like the in-season tournament? Chicken or the egg type of situation. What comes first? Players stepping up and taking the spotlight, or LeBron having to retire so the league has to force the spotlight to other people? But yeah, you're ducking, man. You can't do that. You don't have enough goodwill for us to believe that, yeah, you were too hurt to play. Again, call me an old head all you want, but I just remember Kobe Bryant and these other greats on the bench, wrapped up, looking like some damn cartoon mummies, wrapped up in bandages, like ice packs on shoulder, knees, head, shoulders, knees, and toes. But these guys wanted the ball. They love basketball. It doesn't appear that these guys love basketball. They love the money that basketball brings. But they don't love basketball to go all out, man. And that is what the NBA is missing compared to the NFL. NFL says, hey, man, next week you're getting Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. You're getting Burrow unless Burrow's hurt. And that's a crazy thing. The NFL is the league where guys truly get hurt. But their guys show up, their main guys show up more than NBA's main guys. How does that work? The NBA, where everybody is injured, like really injured, the NFL, where everybody is really injured, is the league that the stars actually show up more than the NBA. How does that work? Dudes should be embarrassed for that. Like, the NFL says you're getting Justin Herbert and, you know, Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or Lamar. Like, you're getting Justin Herbert and Lamar unless somebody's got a shoulder they can't throw the ball. Cats ain't missing the game because, oh, my knees are sore. My ankle's sore. They're wrapping up. Maybe it's a different game, a different mindset, but the NBA is lacking that. And until the NBA finds some cats in this generation who are willing to be reliable and show up and be great business partners and understand that it's not just about hooping, it's about great business partners, and there are fans counting on you. There are fans who bought plane tickets and who came to the game. There are fans who canceled plans to watch you play. Until dudes start caring about the fans and about the business relationship with the NBA, then you're going to continue to have situations where the NBA hypes up these matchups and then dudes don't show up. And the only reliable cats are going to be the old heads like LeBron in his 20th and 21st season, and Steph. And yes, I know LeBron takes days off. But when it's a big time matchup against Steph, LeBron shows up. Like LeBron and Steph show up for each other. That's a rivalry. Like LeBron will take off against somebody else. He's old. He deserves that. He's earned that. But LeBron hears Steph on the schedule. Oh, he's there. He's trying to prove a point. And I love it. Win or lose, I love it. And the ratings love it too. If the current NBA player is going to be true business partners, they're going to have to start showing up consistently and not just taking days off for the heck of it. You might be slightly hurt, man, but your partners are counting on you, man. Joel Embiid, they're counting on you to go up against the Joker. All the excuses you make later on, anybody trying to hear that, man? Especially when the previous year you didn't show up either. So I hope he can hear this. Joel Embiid, if you hear this, it's out of love, man. You're too good to just be sitting out for no reason. All right, next NBA topic. What happened to the game I love? NBA scoring is out of hand. There have been 5 60-plus point games in the last week and a half. 5 60-plus point games. Booker, 62. Carl Anthony Towns was 62. He was just chasing points that game. Giannis was 64 in December. Embiid. Joel Embiid was 70. Luka was 73. So we had Giannis with Booker was 62. Towns was 62. Giannis was 64. Embiid was 70. And Luka was 73. All in the span of like a month. Are you kidding me? How does that happen? And you're going to tell me that this current NBA is better? There is literally very little defense being played. And don't come at me talking about, that's what these modern day fans say now. These modern day fans say, hey, you know, these are much better athletes than they were back then. Yeah, they're great athletes, but are they better basketball players? Like, understanding the goal of basketball, meaning to not just score, but stop your man. Are they truly better basketball players? They're bigger and faster athletes, but are they truly basketball players? Because that seems to only, the bigger and better athletes seems to only translate on offense. Because on defense, I don't see these bigger and better athletes. And yeah, the rules play a part. The rules limit what you can do defensively. But damn it, if you're going to be a bigger and better athlete, I want to see more than just watching Luka come down the lane and score easy layups like it's a layup line. Luka scored 73 points, and there were probably like 5 buckets at most where you're like, okay, that was a tough shot. Man, he was getting anywhere he wanted so easily. The Hawks tried to trap him, yeah, but there's more you can do, especially for Luka, who's not really in that great of a shape still. As good as he is, he's still not in that great of a shape. But there's this clip here, you guys could see it, like, and this thing made its way on through social media real quick to show, like, this guy's getting easy layups. And I went back and watched those buckets, and I'm like, for the most part, probably like 5 buckets where it was, like, tough. Otherwise, this guy's getting easy layups. Like, bro, stop the ball. Luka's coming down the paint. He has his man pinned behind him. Stop the ball. Like, this play here, like, if that happens in LA Fitness, somebody's getting yelled at. If you're in LA Fitness and somebody gets an easy layup like that once and then twice, somebody's getting yelled at. Hey, yo, what are you doing? But the Hawks, it's just like, oh, well, it's Luka. Where is the competitive spirit, man? What happened to the game I love? Again, great athletes, but I don't know if they're great players, man. And it's proven when they go overseas and play in FIBA, right? FIBA has different rules, so you're allowed to play more defense. But you could tell who's truly like a great basketball player, who understands basketball and not just ISO scoring, which is what the NBA is about. So Adam Silver changed the rules to the point where now guys can't play defense, and even if they wanted to, and now a lot of guys don't even want to because they figure they're going to get called for for a foul, plus or just, you know, that's just their attitude now. They don't even want to play defense. Again, I get it, man. The rules are stacked against you, but you cannot be watching someone like Luka just waltz down and hit open layups and middies and nobody's not like, damn, like do something. Do something, man. And you're trying to tell me Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant couldn't average 40 in this era? Please. These guys are going crazy in this era. Their dedication, their mindset, their spirit, their precision. These aren't guys who are just, you know, taking traveling and taking four step backs and shooting threes. Like, these guys are precise in their execution. They are easily averaging 40 points. People talking about Allen Iverson, you know, is inefficient. For that time period, he was inefficient because the lane was clogged. In this open run era, who is keeping Allen Iverson out of the paint when Luka is just layup lining it? You can keep Allen Iverson when you can hand check him. You can't hand check him and the lane is wide open? Come on, man. AI is killing these dudes. He don't even need a crossover. Why crossover when your first step is gone? Ain't nobody checking you. My goodness. Who's keeping AI out of the paint, man? Come on, dog. So Luka had a layup line against the Hawks, man, and it's sad to watch. As an old head, it is sad to watch. Listen, I'm not saying there aren't great players who these guys couldn't get buckets in older days. They just couldn't get those kind of buckets. Yes, there are some guys who play today who could still get buckets like that. Luka could still average 20, 25 back in the day. Because he plays with skill. You can't speed him up. He plays with patience. He's strong. He's tall. He's big. Joker could still get buckets. Giannis could still get buckets. Embiid will still get buckets, right? Some guys will still get buckets, even averaging 25, 30, even back in the 90s, early 2000s. But the problem with the modern NBA fan is that they feel like everybody playing right now would be averaging 35, 25 and 30. When that's not the case. FIBA proves that. Because when the defense steps up and you're not getting the whistle all the time, you're, for whatever reason, you're unable to score like that. So a lot of the guys who are getting 25, 30 so easily now, they're not getting anywhere close to that in FIBA, and they would not be getting that with a tougher whistle like back in the day. The early 2000s whistle, they're not getting those buckets. Again, some of them would, most of them would not. But the way these guys scoring now, the modern NBA fan, the youngsters can't tell the difference. The youngsters can't tell the difference of who is actually a tremendous basketball player and who's a tremendous scorer who get points anytime, anywhere, and who actually gets buckets because nobody's playing defense and nobody can play defense because they're going to get a foul called on them. So they assume that everybody's bigger, faster, stronger. They got the handles and they got a bag. And nah, man, your bag is limited. Your skill is limited when you're not getting the whistle and guys could bump you off your spot. So it's just crazy to watch, man. Like 30-point games used to be limited to like great guys or, you know, once in a while when somebody random would have a great game. And us old heads used to wait till, you know, Stuart Scott at the 11 o'clock Sports Center would be, you know, going through the highlights, talking about he's as cool as the other side of the pillow. Or Dan Patrick talking about this guy's in fuego. Like, it used to be reserved for certain guys. Everybody wasn't just dropping 30, 40, 50, 60. Definitely not 70. It wasn't like that. But now everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. So it's like, it's nothing. So if you score 30 now, it's nothing to score 30 now in the league. And that's what Adam Silver wants. But unfortunately, good business, right, viewership doesn't make it a better product. Casuals watch because that's what they like. But the better product is a product where both sides have equal chance. They can play defense. I can bump you. I can put my hands on you. You can't run into me and you get the whistle. That's a terrible product to watch. And Tom Brady called out mediocre play in the NFL. But the NFL made a lot of changes because of injury. Right? They don't want cats getting hit in the head, concussions, you know, CTE, all that stuff. That was a business decision, most of it because of injuries. But Tom Brady called it mediocre play because quarterbacks now can throw 4,000 yards easily, throw bad passes, and they're going to get a PI or they're going to get a penalty against the defense for, you know, roughing or whatever it is, right? Because unnecessary roughness, because the rules have changed to protect the players from injury, from head injuries, defenseless receiver, whatever it is. The basketball, the NBA, is mediocre as well because you have a lot of guys putting up major stats who really shouldn't be putting up major stats, but they could put up major stats because they get the whistle if you get anywhere near them. So that's mediocre basketball. That's not great basketball. That's one-sided basketball. Shoot a bunch of threes, get layups, or get to the free throw line. And if anybody touches you, they're going to foul out. Like hearing Dan Patrick say he's in fuego for us old heads, that's when you knew somebody was balling out. He was in fuego. So now it's just a bunch of threes. Cats get big salaries now because they're scoring a bunch of points. But come playoff time, when things lock down, they're not that nice. Or in FIBA, they prove to not be that nice. But they got big money, though. Viewership is up. They get big money. But viewership, just like album sales, doesn't mean it's a better product. So here's the conclusion I've come to, y'all. Here's the conclusion I've come to. And I'm going to wrap up with this. The NBA, current NBA, is not made for old heads. It's not made for us. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. The current NBA is not made for old heads because it's so analytically driven. It's not made for guys who just want to go out there and bang and ball. It's not made for guys who like defense. Old heads who watch Michael Jordan and who like Kobe Bryant. It's not made for us. The current NBA is not made for old heads. And what's funny is that, and I saw this online on social media, we're becoming our parents the same way our parents didn't like rap and hip hop. It's the same way that the same thing has happened to us. We're becoming our parents, like that commercial. Don't become your parents. We're becoming our parents. And in this instance, I feel like it's okay. So the modern NBA game is not made for old heads, just like modern rap music, modern hip hop is not made for old heads either. If you grew up listening to Jay-Z and Nas, you probably don't like current hip hop music, where you don't understand what cats are saying, where dudes are off beat more than they are on beat, and you get seems like you get more views the more you are off beat. The guys who are most off beat are the guys who are the most popular. It's the most popular music. The guys whose words you can't understand, whose flow is whack, those guys are the most popular. If you grew up on Jay-Z and Nas, you don't like the current hip-hop, the state of hip-hop. You grew up with Outkast. If you're from the South, you grew up on Outkast. You probably don't like the current state of music, current state of hip-hop. And you probably don't like the current NBA either. We're old heads. Huh? You grew up with UGK, 8-Ball, and MJG. You probably don't like current Southern hip-hop either. You don't understand these cats. It's different. You're an old head, and that's okay. You don't like the current state of hip-hop, but you don't like the NBA right now either. That's because we're becoming our parents, and the NBA doesn't really care about us. Because guess what? We've aged out of their demographic. They want the youngsters, man. They know we're going to watch anyway. Whether it's bad basketball or good basketball, the NBA knows us old heads, we love basketball. We've already fallen in love. They already got us. So we're going to watch anyway. So what they're trying to do is capture this younger audience who's distracted every 10 seconds by something else on their phone, their iPads, computers, whatever it is. They're trying to capture these guys. And in order to capture these guys, they have to put out some product that's crazy scoring, because the current fan could give 2 cents about somebody D-ing somebody up. So the modern NBA game is not for the old head, y'all. It just ain't. Like, if you grew up on T.I., even that generation, if you grew up on Wayne, not even No Limit Wayne, if you grew up on not even Hot Boys Wayne, if you grew up on, like, Wayne, like, grown-up Wayne, you probably don't like the current NBA either. Heck, forget about rap. If you grew up on Blink 182, if you know who Nirvana is and you're not just wearing Nirvana printed t-shirts, you probably don't like the NBA game because you're an old head, the modern NBA. You grew up on Metallica? You probably don't like the current NBA. You're an old head. If you grew up on NSYNC, you knew the NSYNC and Backstreet Boy beef? You probably don't like the current NBA either. You're an old head. It's not for you. And the NBA doesn't care because they've already gotten you. Plus, they know you can't stay awake past 10 o'clock at night anyway. Who's going to watch these late night games? Not us. Not us. We ain't got the energy to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning no more. But they already got you anyway. What you going to do? Go to the club? It ain't happening, bro. Listen, man, if you grew up on original 106 in Park with Free and AJ, you're an old head, bro. You probably don't like current rap music. You don't like the NBA either. You grew up on Big Tigger the Basement. You probably don't like current rap music, and you're probably not a big fan of the NBA either. You knew Mace when he was a rapper, then became a pastor, then became a rapper again before he got his podcast. You probably don't like current music. You're an old head. And you probably don't care for the modern NBA either. But there's nothing you can do but watch anyway. That's what the NBA knows. The NBA knows you're watching anyway. What they're trying to do is capture this younger audience. So you can either complain, like a lot of dudes are complaining online. Save your breath, man. Ain't no point in complaining. Save your breath. There's no point in complaining. Enjoy what you can. Here's what I recommend, all right? There are certain teams who actually do play defense. The Celtics play defense. The T-Wolves play defense. The Magic play really good defense. The Thunder, young team, play defense. I would recommend watching those teams if you really want to watch teams hustle, play hard, and at least try to play defense. Otherwise, the Nuggets play decent defense. Otherwise, you're going to struggle. You know, the Sixers play decent defense. Otherwise, you're going to struggle, you know, watching these dudes. You're going to get mad. You're going to be throwing stuff at the TV like, yo, step up. Hedge on the pick. Why is he getting the easy finger roll? Luka slow butt getting the easy finger roll at the rim. Why are all these great athletes, why is nobody challenging Luka at the rim? Make him pass it. First rule in basketball you learn is to stop the man with the ball. Always stop ball. Make him pass it. Yeah, I know that he might give it to somebody who's going to have an open three, but make him pass it instead of an easy open layup. Yeah, it's tough, man. Fellow old heads, it's tough. But stop complaining and saying you don't watch no more, you're not going to watch anymore. Bro, you're going to watch. We know you're going to watch. Don't lie and act like you're going to watch. We know you're going to watch. All right? You can't watch ESPN Classics all day. Unlike music, where you can go to Amazon and find whatever song you want, go to YouTube and play your favorites all day and all night. There's a limit to how much NBA classics you can watch, man. So enjoy it for what it is. It's never going to be what it was before. Defense as we know it is gone. The game as you knew it is gone. Yeah, like Mark Jackson, we could all say, what happened to the game we love? What happened to the game I love? It's gone. So just enjoy it. Enjoy what you have while you can. It sucks. I feel the pain, man. It sucks to watch these dudes get scoring 50 points so easily. There's no competitive spirit in these guys. And they could just sit on the bench and laugh and enjoy it like some spectators. But that's the new generation, man. We don't have no other choice but to watch y'all. We're hooked on basketball. So it is what it is. All right, y'all. That was the episode for today. Appreciate y'all hanging out once again. As always, let me know what your thoughts are. Leave your feedback, comments, questions. Share it with your friends. But I will catch you guys next time. Bye. Sports and real shit. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.